Good morning and welcome to WJBM Spotlight this morning. We're happy to have some real estate guys in with us from the Tarrant & Harmon Real Estate Company here in town and all over. We got Jonathan Prynne, Nick Kane, and Travis Tarrant. Welcome, fellas.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, is it pronounced Tarrant or Tarrant?
Tarrant.
Tarrant. Sorry.
And Prynne over here.
And Prynne.
That's right.
All right. How about, did I get Kane right?
Nick Kane.
He's been called a lot worse. Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about real estate. And I really want to keep this to the Tri-County because we only cover Tri-County. So we're going to, and you guys maybe go beyond Tri-County, but
we actually just sold our first farm in Kansas the other day, so
I'll be darned.
We're multi-state.
Isn't that something? Yes.
Expansion. Yeah. The Western expansion.
That's what we're calling it anyway.
What is your favorite thing to sell? What do you think you're really good at and you have a good time selling?
I really enjoy selling recreational farms and tillable farm ground, but I do a little bit of everything. I do commercial buildings, lots, and also residential.
Well, why do you like recreational farming so much? We're talking about hunting
ground. Yeah. Uh-huh. Just because every piece is different, and you just get to go out and walk the properties and show the different contours of it and all the different facets of it. It's really exciting.
How about you, Jonathan? What's your favorite?
So I stick to where my passion is, and my passion is the outdoor industry, the agriculture industry. So for me, it's the same as Nick. I focus pretty well solely on recreational hunting properties and ag properties, and literally the only reason is because that is my passion. That's what I love. It's what I've put my heart and soul into over the past 10-15 years, and you got to do what you love every day. So that's where I'm at.
Well, Travis, now we're back to you. What do you like selling?
Well, honestly, Tarrant & Harmon is a pretty diversified real estate brokerage. We initially started the company wanting to offer services for residential, commercial, and land, which is why we incorporated auction into the main infrastructure of the company, because land sells so many times at auction. But we do probably 70% residential sales, and then we do 20% land, and then the other 10% is commercial. So to say if I had a favorite, I'm similar to these guys. I love the outdoors. I have a passion for hunting and fishing and recreating and all those things. And it is always fun to go, walk a farm with somebody. It's typically something they've owned for a long time, a legacy type property that they've enjoyed. So to get to experience that with them and then to market that property to the next group of people or the person that may take that over for them is always enjoyable. So
with the interest rate now, I just read 7.49 for 30-year fixed. Mm-hmm. Was down to what was its lowest in the last last 2 years? Nick, what was it?
We saw as low as 1.875.
crazy.
1.875. Yeah. Unbelievable interest rates. That's free money.
And then fastest increase in history.
Fastest, yeah. Now, what did it get up to? I know it's dropped to 7.4, but
right.
I think we saw some eights.
I never seen anything over an eight.
No. Yeah, that's about as high as it got.
Yeah. I can remember years ago, back in late 80s, and I bought the hotel. I think I was paying 11%, but just happy to get it. Just
absolutely
happy to get the money.
Yeah.
Didn't even think about it. If they loaned me the money, I was going for it. So, in your opinion, Travis, is now at 7.4. What's your opinion on people? There's a lot of young people that want to buy a home for themselves. What do you think about this time of year right now? What are you thinking?
Well, the hard part that everybody's dealing with right now is the shortage of inventory. So because of what past interest rates were, we have somewhat of a gridlock in available inventory. So everybody sitting in this room is probably locked in at a 3 or 4. Nick, I think, is less than, you know what I mean?
So yes, nobody's...
all of this whole room right here, I mean, I'm not selling my house. I got a 3% interest rate. I'm loving life.
Exactly.
You know, Nick's at a 2, maybe?
Yeah, or, Nick's, I mean, Nick's got the cherry interest rate out of all of us. I know that for a fact.
You know, so we, unfortunately, like, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, real estate never stops because life doesn't stop. So you have people that have to make decisions because they're like me. They just had their fifth child, or they've, you know, transferred. They've
big round of applause for that, fellas.
Yeah. So
holy smoly.
We may have to offer our home up before too long or add on. But anyway, we have a really funky gridlock right now because of the level of comfort that everybody is in versus, you know, where they would have to be if they had to, you know, exchange real estate. So if they have to sell, the positive is you're gonna sell for more. I mean, right now your house is probably worth more than it ever has been. I mean, we are surprised every single day. You know, we you know, as a team, you know, we've got 70 real estate brokers scattered out across a couple of states, and every day we talk about what this brought or that brought, and it you know, never ceases to amaze us. So,
yeah.
Any suggestions, Jonathan?
I was just adding to what Travis said. Something that popped in my head that I read the other day is that, you know, for 2023, exactly hitting on what Travis just mentioned with that gridlock and people being comfortable, we're probably sitting at a we are sitting at a great amount of people with such a low interest rate that it's causing, you know, statistically, the largest reduction in home sales across America. We're looking at seeing over or less than 4 million home sales in 2023. We haven't seen that low of a number since 1995. And that speaks on exactly what Travis just said, is people are so comfortable in that low interest rate, your 2%, your 3%, but the people that are selling and you know, we're getting them sold, and we are seeing prices that surprise us every time. But
the one thing though is if you're sitting in a home and you got that low interest rate, or maybe you got it paid off, right? Maybe you got some extra cash, you know. Now wouldn't be a bad time to build that dream home, especially if you're, you know, like middle-aged or a little older, you know, build something, maybe you got a bigger house, you want to come down a little bit, you know, and build something perfect for yourself, something you can live the rest of your life and retire in. Now would be a great time to sell.
Yeah,
correct? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're even seeing people buying lots and building,
yeah,
you know, or buying a little acreage and building their dream home, and it's a different market right now.
Speaking of lots, seems like lots in town are tough to sell.
They are tough to sell in town.
Well, as you why know, is that so tough to sell in town?
As you know, since COVID, you know, if people are going to spend the money and build, they want to be outside of town. I mean, we saw since that those COVID restrictions and the things that everybody had is, we are seeing a greater influx of people wanting to live outside of city limits.
Is there anything, Travis, what do you think for people that have some lots, what could they do with that lot in order to move it? You know, if you can't do a house, what could you do there on lots in town?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have to get creative. I mean, I would say that people, it means more to people that probably are around it or join it or things of that nature than to anybody else.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, or even if you're a seller that's in a position to offer owner financing or something of that nature, sometimes that's an option too.
I see. I want to ask this question and let you guys get it answered. Help me answer it. Many times, because I've been in real estate for about the last 25 years, But my method of getting in real estate is different than others because, you know, I was in the construction business and I wanted to keep my guys busy, so I'd buy down and out properties, have a, there was something for them to do in the wintertime, keep my guys going. But a lot of people say, how do I get into real estate? You know, younger people, you know, you got no money. You know, I mean, that's the thing. They want to get into it, but, you know, I didn't have any money, but I had a crew. I had to stay busy. If you don't have a crew and you're not into construction, per se, how do you get into real estate?
Yeah, so, I mean, there are, it's...
Or is it even possible?
It is possible. No, it's definitely possible. I mean, you're looking at three guys on this side of the table that are, you know, uneducated and all own real estate and came about it by... And I, when I say uneducated, I mean, we're not...
There's no college degrees
on this side of the table, you know. I mean, we literally... I mean, I'm in real estate because it's an avenue to, you know, create wealth. And as an uneducated person or somebody that, you know, I mean, I only have what I have by going and getting it. You know what I mean? So for me, real estate was attractive prior to us being in the buying and selling business of just owning real estate, because that was a way that I could make more money than I could, you know, doing a regular job. So, but until you get to the, you know, that point, you have to have a regular job, right? So, I mean, you got to be able to borrow money. So the first thing to me is to get yourself in a position to borrow money, have a good job, you know, be mindful of your credit score. If you don't know what that is, find out what it is. You know, that's easy to do. You need to have a relationship with a local bank, really, you know, somebody that you can walk in just like I'm sitting here next to you and give a business plan of here's what I'd like to do, and they can help you on that end. So there's lots of different ways. Me personally, I was fortunate enough that when I bought my first house, I had somebody that I was able to borrow the money from, an individual. So if you know somebody in the family or a friend that, you know, I had somebody that bought the house and then I paid them back for it, you know, and I compensated them for borrowing the money.
Now, what do you suggest if you're going to borrow money from a family friend or family members? How do you go about that? Because you know how it is, you know, you never loan money to your family. I mean, how do you do that and do it legitimately? What's your suggestion?
Well, I'd say you just have to line out the details of everything, and that family member is probably going to be the one that owns the property.
You need to treat it like a bank.
Correct. Treat them like a bank, yes. Yeah. They probably deserve some interest back.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, depending on how involved they want to be, if they want to be involved in the demolition and the cleanup and all of that, they can. But I think you just have to work out all those details up front, and that way there's no surprises on the back end.
Another question that I'd like to ask is, Jonathan, is buying your home, everybody wants to buy their home, is buying your home, buying a home, is that a good investment?
You know, there are a lot of investments in the home world that are made that are not good investments. But they're, you know, if you're patient and don't make any rash decisions in buying a home, I mean, they can definitely be bought right. It's not something that you're, you know, don't plan on making a ton of money on, but it can be. And back to, you know, how everybody has a different way in purchasing. You know, Travis hit it best on relationships. You know, relationship with your lender is the number. I mean, they make everything more electronic today, right? And I always find it, we always find it, we're handshake people. You know, you need to have a relationship with people. Every time you cash a check, go inside and talk to somebody and cash that check, build that relationship. But I don't believe personally there's any real estate that's a bad investment, as long as it can be, you know, it's not bought wrong. And that's where we come in. You know, we can help you make sure that those decisions that you're making are the right decisions, and whether they're rash or not.
Utilize its highest and best use.
Correct.
That being said, let's say a person has some money, right? They've worked hard. They put some money back. Maybe they got an inheritance, all right? So they have 100 grand, 150 grand, you know, 200 grand, whatever it is. They get some money. Maybe they worked for it, or maybe they inherited it. But what would you, at this time, right now, in the Tri-County, where would you say is the best place to go with that money if you want to get into real estate? Nick?
Come talk to us, and we'll help you find something that...
But I mean, I'm talking about either residential, commercial, farm ground. What is the best? Where can you be the safest and go?
Everybody's going to be different. I know these guys would agree.
It depends on what your
how hard your goals are
and what's your timeline for that investment. You know, if you're only planning on keeping it for a few years, you've got to look at the resale value in those few years. If you're planning on keeping it for 20 to 30 years, you know, you've got to look at the deferred maintenance and the long-term maintenance of whatever property you're looking to purchase.
Travis, what do you think as far as...
I think it depends on how involved that person wants to be, you know. So
what if you don't want to be involved?
If you don't want to be involved, I mean, first of all, I would say your greatest rate of return is going to be on residential rental, right? Yeah. So if you were to buy a, you know, 3-unit or an 8-unit or a 10-unit or whatever, that's going to be your best avenue because you've, when you compare that to single family, you know, single family, if you've got five single families, you've got five roofs and five sewer lines and five water heaters and all these things that, you know, end up costing you some money and time. You know, if you have a multi-family, you've got one roof, one sewer line, It's a little bit easier. So, but, you know, Tarrant Harmon also offers property management services. So if it's something that you've got the money. If you've got the money, that's new. That's new within 2023. So. We have somebody in our office, Trevor Parrish, who is specific to property management. So if anybody has that need, we can, you know, direct you to Trevor. But anyway, he focuses on residential property management. So if you want it hands-off, then you need to be in a multi-unit, and you probably should, you know, engage somebody to manage that for you. To me, the most sound investment is always land, but your rate of return is so much lower and your buy-in is, you know, so much higher. But as far as you know, over time, you know, land has done nothing but appreciate.
What is the best farm ground going for compared to lesser, like if we go to something that's a 10, maybe something that is, you know, is you farm on it, but maybe I don't even know what the low bottom is on farm ground.
There's a lot of factors that go into a piece of ground, you know, what the access is, what the soil types are, you know, your productivity, things of that nature. But we have seen some very impressive prices, and we follow the sales in all the counties here around us, whether it's a private sale or it's an auction or it was listed or however somebody went about it. You know, and you'll see a pretty wide variation because, you know, some people have a relationship with a family member or a tenant farmer, whatever it might be, where, you know, they've agreed on a certain price, and that's great. When a property gets exposed to the market, you know, when we see something get listed or be offered at auction, you know, you see numbers anywhere from 14 to 16 pretty easily for 16,000 per acre, you know,
that's common these days.
That's pretty easy to achieve.
Pretty easy to get.
Yeah,
on the good dirt for sure.
And again, every piece of land is there. You cannot take two pieces of land and land next to you. They are not the same. You know,
everything's different.
There's different.
Okay, how about recreation? How does that go per acre?
Yeah, I mean on a large scale, it's income-wise, you can diversify it a lot broader than you can a piece of ag ground. You know, you can lease it to hunters. You can harvest trees. A lot of farms have a little bit of tillable or CRP on them, which generates income on a more broader scale than what a piece of ag would, and not necessarily more. Just typically, it's less. But we're seeing ag or recreational farms today in our Tri-County area, depending on how they lay, how wet they are, you know, what's going on. I would say, I mean, anywhere from 3,500 all the way up to 6,500 an acre.
I see.
Yeah, we just sold a farm over here just east of Medora on FS Road that was 211 acres. There was 45 acres tillable. The only improvement on the farm, as far as the structure goes, was a new countryside pole building. And that farm brought $5,600 an acre. For a rec farm, which that one is, meaning its primary use is, you know, the guy that bought this, you know, is going to farm or is going to hunt it, not farm it, not do anything like that. But that's a strong number, you know,
yeah,
for a piece of ground that was probably not too long ago 3 an acre.
You know? Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, gentlemen, man, that has been very interesting, and appreciate you guys coming in. I'm going to have you back for sure, and we'll talk about real estate. I'm glad you came in, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks
a bunch.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
thanks, Chris. Appreciate it very much.